The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So here is Aledmys Diaz with the Rays one out away. Diaz hit three homers in 58 at-bats this year, hit 18 2 years ago with Toronto. Swings at the first pitch. Fly ball, shallow right field. Manuel Margot is there, and the Tampa Bay Rays are the champions of the American League. And for the second time in franchise history, they are going to the World Series. The number one seed taken to a winner-take-all game by the Houston Astros, but the Rays finish them off, winning 4-2, and they're going to the Fall Classic.
We fought until the end. We didn't quit every day. We had guys step up. Had guys get hurt. Had 8 or 9 guys make their debut this year. And I just think us as a whole, we fought up. Hillian.
Henry looking for room to the end zone.
If we hadn't practiced that play, I would say maybe they weren't prepared. But that play was run in practice, and they should have been prepared. They knew it was the Wildcat. They knew it was the Wildcat. And they thought that they knew where the ball was going to go. And the ball started where they thought it was going to go. But then when the ball bent back, the responsibility had been vacated. And so there's a lot of space for the runner.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and there were a lot of not-so-good sports to talk about this weekend. But let's do it anyway. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can hear what goes on during the breaks. And it's a Monday, lots of action over the weekend. None of it very
lots
good.
Lots of action. Lots yeah. of action.
Yeah. None of it very good, as it turned out. And no. Didn't help that I had my worst betting weekend of the year. Nice little 1-5.
Yeah, I was watching some of those scores come across, and I was like, I don't think this is a good weekend for Freddie.
Nope.
I had another poor college weekend. Luckily, both my Alabama overs, first half and full game overs hit. That kind of bailed me out of what would have been just an awful day. The NFL, though, I was pretty strong. Pittsburgh, Detroit came through for me.
The only thing I had all weekend, I played two NFL games. Packers lost. Dolphins, I had to cover against the Jets. And everybody made fun of me for that bet because it was the squares play ever.
Well, it was a good weekend for squares.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I teased the Falcons even like a fool. I did, and it worked.
Oh boy!
I didn't even need to tease them. I could have just said, you know what, they're gonna win the game. The Bears hit for me. All the NFL went well for me except for the total in the Packers Bucks game. Had over 54, just feeling real good about it early on.
Yeah.
And then the Packers just decided they were done scoring points after about the first 3 minutes of that game. They were out of the scoring points business, and that kind of cost me. But other than that, solid weekend after a rough one, my first real rough one in the NFL last week.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had a pretty good year, but this weekend was not so good. Not so good. And I'm really glad that I didn't play the Texans because you'd have been right on the game and lost because of the overtime. But
funny how you can be right and wrong all at the same time.
Yeah, although we'll get to that. They were extremely lucky to have the opportunity they had there because Titans made a lot of mistakes that they don't make. And, We'll get to that. What do you want to break down first? You want to say sayonara to your beloved Astros, or do you want to start with the Texans?
I mean, I guess we could start with the Astros. The fact that they came back, awesome. That's nice that they didn't quit. Like who was that song? Correa?
Yeah,
Springer.
Oh, Springer. Okay. Yeah, the fact that they didn't
I figured quit. To use his audio since it's probably the last time we'll hear from him as an Astro.
Yeah, probably so. Very cool. Not the way they wanted it to end. But I'll be honest. And there's people who got on me about this. I think Kevin Cash gave them every chance to get back in it by taking out Charlie Morton when he did.
Yep.
It's like he didn't learn his lesson. And Charlie Morton was just in cruise control, total cruise control. And they're like, you know what? Slow roller infield hit. Better pull him here. 66 pitches. Got to pull our. I mean, what? And I said at the time, I said, this is a bonehead move. This is a bonehead. And he did it the game before with Blake Snell. We talked about it on this show. You want your best guys out there on the mound. Clearly, Morton had the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, fortunately for the Rays, unfortunately for the Astros, the bullpen couldn't get it done. Or they couldn't get it done off of the bullpen either. So it was it's a moot point. It was a successful season for the Astros. It had ended when it was supposed to, like if this was a non-COVID year and they ended up with a losing record, boy, that would have been a tough pill to swallow for Astro fan.
But if you tell me they would get to a game 7 in the ALCS without Justin Verlander,
everybody's taking it.
I'll take it.
Of course they are.
Because Verlander was the one guy they couldn't lose this year. And guess what? They did.
Yep.
Valiant, but you know what? That's kind of Houston team. Nice effort. See you next year. I mean, Rockets weren't really a nice effort, but
No. But I mean, I don't think anybody can be too disappointed in the Astros. They weren't supposed to get as far as they did. I mean, they made something happen. It's tough to see it end, and obviously the fact that they came back made baseball a lot more interesting. I didn't expect to have much interest in the baseball playoffs
no,
at all.
No, but, and that, so I got to be interested for a lot longer than you know I was expecting to.
Yeah. And now I'm Team Tampa. I'm a Rays fan.
Yeah, I don't really care who wins because both these cities don't deserve it. LA just took home an NBA title, and Tampa just took home the Stanley Cup. So you can both go screw yourselves.
Well,
I don't
here's
really
the problem
care.
Though: if Dodger fan wins, it's going to be, you know, because well, luckily the team we were playing wasn't cheating. I mean, it's going to be petty nonsense. I would much and. I mean, Tampa's just a more likable situation anyway. They're like 27th in payroll. The Dodgers are, what, second or first now? I don't know. But I don't hate the Dodgers like some people do. And I know Astros fans hate them because they're bitter little bitches about the cheating scandal. I don't particularly dislike any of the players on the Dodgers. But in a battle of these two teams, it's certainly easier to root for Tampa.
I don't like either one, so I'm not rooting for either one.
Okay. You're not even going to root for Charles Morton?
No.
You're just a sad man.
I don't have any interest in baseball when the Astros aren't involved.
Okay.
And it's that simple. So, if I had to hope somebody would win, yeah, I'd say Rays, but it's not like I'm going to feel any better about either one of them winning.
Yeah.
So... But the good news is now I can quit caring about baseball and just focus on football because it's football season. We even have a game going on right now in front of us. So, little bonus 4 o'clock Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But now I guess we can worry about, you know, who comes back for the Astros. I mean,
that's the big discussion. That's going to be the off season buzz. Who's it going to be next year? What's this team going to look like next year? The answers to that will tell you a lot about how competitive you think the Astros are going to be next year.
I think it's going to be hard for them not to be decent. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to really suck.
I mean, let's say worst case scenario, you lose Springer and Brantley. They're both gone. Theoretically, you're getting Yordan back to replace one of those guys.
And yeah.
And, I mean, you've got to replace Reddick, although, I mean, to me, just a...
Isn't Tucker supposed to be that?
But Tucker's already out there. That's
yeah.
Replacing Reddick is going to be a league average player. Like, you don't need to go out and get some super free agent to replace him. You just need a guy. Because right. That's what he is just a guy. The two guys that you really need to worry about replacing are those, the Springer and Brantley. And Yordan can replace one. You will have to find I think you're going to have to find a DH, or at least maybe not a DH. You're going to have to find someone who can play in the field, because Springer and Yordan's not doing what they're doing in the field, obviously.
Right.
And Reddick's good in the field.
Yeah.
Your good defensive outfield may turn into a flaw here soon.
Right.
And I still think you've got to go replace Osuna, because I don't think the answer is in-house. And I don't know if you need a frontline starter, because you're hoping that Fromber, Urquidy, Greinke, out of those three guys, two of them are, you know, front end of the rotation guys. But you need, I would look for like a mid rotation starter to add to this thing too.
I think you can find that. And obviously, yeah, you're right. They got to replace the beater, but I think there's enough there to build with. And, you know, now we'll see, though, what this team looks like without Jeff Luhnow. Because this is where James Click's going to have to build this thing. I would bet maybe you get Brantley back on a similar type deal. And if you do that, really, you're only having to replace Springer. Although I think replacing Springer isn't all that easy, necessarily. But, you know, you'll still be good. And I do think that I wouldn't say the window's completely gone, but I think their World Series window has closed.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You know how you make any sporting event a lot more interesting? You bet on it. A little wager on a baseball game, and suddenly you're glued to the TV. All the fun starts at mybookie.ag. MyBookie has odds on all sports, MLB, the NBA, soccer, UFC, golf, NASCAR, and of course, football. Bet on any college football or NFL game and dial up the fun. MyBookie has thousands of bets you can play. Lines on games, props inside the game, live in-game betting, futures bets, and even odds on our country's highest office. And MyBookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Join today and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just enter promo code RADIO. Make sports more interesting with MyBookie.ag. And remember, they'll double your first deposit when you enter promo code RADIO. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO.
Call Allstate Windows and Siding for hurricane impact windows. All windows from Allstate Windows and Siding, made in Texas, built for Texas tough weather. Rain, wind, hail, it's all covered. Plus, you can save up to 40% on your electric bill. They're here to help Houston, extending their fall specials. 25% off windows, or buy 10 windows, get 2 free. $2,000 off complete siding jobs too. Home and virtual appointments available, family run for 4 generations. Remember, Allstate Windows and Siding for hurricane impact windows. Call them today, 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Joel Blank here. You've heard me talk all about the services that Apollo Men's Health provides. For the month of October, mention my name or ESPN. Get your initial visit for just $50. With locations in Pearland and Lake Jackson, you can call Apollo Men's Health at 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Most major insurance accepted and discounts for military personnel and first responders. Go see Dr. O and his staff, Apollo Men's Health, today.
All right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Listen, if you own your home, you need to know about these guys. Hopefully a lot of you have already done this. I know that the guys over at TGS are real happy with the Blitzers, but if you own your home and you haven't tried it, now is the time to do it. If you don't know what you're paying for your home insurance, I sure didn't know what I was paying monthly for my home insurance. You just pay it. It's just part of what's going on. So what I did was I texted the word money to 232323. They asked for my address. I replied back. They sent me a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, and I saved over $1,000 annually. Now, not everyone's going to do that. Graham down the hall saved over $2,600 a year. Some of you are going to save a little bit less, but you're probably going to save. I've got a good feeling you're going to save some money. It's so simple. Why wouldn't you do it? Yeah, unless you got too much money in your pocket. I mean, good on you, but most of us could use a few bucks. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Monday, Astros season over, Texans season officially over. I think that's safe to say.
Yes.
So,
is 1-5 not good?
I'm going to say that's 1-5.
Probably headed to 1-6.
You can't go 11-5 though, unless you win next week against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
True, and the pissed off Packers.
Yeah, I would hope that there's a pissed off Packer.
Yeah. But
I think there's a lot to digest from this game, and the first thing that I wanted to point out was that if you're the Texans and I tell you that the Titans, who never turn the ball over, are going to give you the ball on a sack fumble that leads to a touchdown, going to throw a long pass down the middle that they didn't need to throw that gets picked off. That they miss a chippy field goal and get another field goal block, that they get a penalty, which now everybody's saying that Mike Vrabel did it on purpose. If so, he's a genius.
He is a genius.
Yeah. If not, then okay. But you got that. You gave up 2 fourth downs. You had with that 12-man penalty. Basically, all of those things that the Titans did, we still won the game.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of mistakes that you expect the 1-4 team to make. And I think I came away from that game more impressed with the Titans than I have been all season, simply because, you know, we talked about it being a potential trap game, and it really was. They just happened to be good enough to overcome it and overcome all of that. Now, part of that was because they were able to run for 6,000 yards. And if you can't stop the run, you're not going to win many games. But you know, those things let the Texans stay in the game. The other thing that I thought was kind of telling was when Taylor Lewan got hurt, that's when the game changed, in that all of a sudden the Texans were able to attack that position with JJ and with some other guys, and it didn't last long. The Titans made some adjustments and got an extra that offensive coordinator there is really good. And I hope Texans fan was kind of watching that and saying, you know, we might want to get us some of this next year. But, you know, with all of that, I thought, you know, offensively, the Texans played really well. I think their best game in a while. I think Deshaun's best game in a while.
Better than the Jacksonville game?
Yeah. I think it was. And I think when you look at total QBR, it's going to be significantly better than the Jacksonville game.
Well, I mean, when you look at who you were playing against, too, I suppose it is.
I mean, no, I think this is his best game in a while. And I'm pretty sure that number's going to fall into that elite category that I always talk about.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, he did what he needed to do to give them a chance to win. But I mean, how often have we seen this with Texans teams? I mean, Deshaun plays like that and they still come up short because their defense to this day remains a complete joke.
It's pretty rough. And then you get to the big, I guess it's the big debate was, should they have gone for two in that spot? Should they kick the extra point? I haven't heard your take, so what says Fred?
Well, at the time, now I didn't lose my head like Rich Gannon and just wouldn't shut up about it, which was pretty annoying. I thought, what are you doing? And You know, and so part of me was like, okay, well, if you're just trying to win it right here, I don't hate it, but I think I would kick the extra point and make them get eight. And then, and now in the moment, they didn't think about all these things, because the more I thought about it, the more sense it made. But there is no way that Romeo Crennel was sitting there going, you know, we know they're probably going to score and they're going to have a chance to tie the game. Would I rather have that chance in Derrick Henry's hands at the 2 yard line, or with a kicker who'd already missed a chippy and had one blocked? Because when I looked at it that way, I thought, you know what? I might feel better about the struggling kicker. The other part of that was that I thought about, well, your guy already missed an extra point too.
Which is why you're in this position.
Yeah. And I mean, I know how bad the defense is. I know they're going right down the field. And so your hope is that one of those two things happens, that that he misses the extra point, or you win the coin flip to overtime, because I think whoever won the coin flip was going to win the game.
Oh, you could tell Deshaun was disgusted.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. And everyone was saying, well, you already knew the Titans were going to go down there. You know how easy it is for them to get a two-point conversion. So, well, here's the thing. If you're up eight and they go down and get a two-point conversion, worst case scenario, you go to overtime. Like, if it was that easy for the Titans to go, if the Titans would prefer to kick, or if they would prefer to go for two than kick, what would have stopped them from going to after they scored the touchdown and just winning right then?
Well, I would have if I were them.
It's not unreasonable.
But I think the thing they're thinking is, we're the 5-0 team at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's just get to overtime and take our chances. And we'll probably win the game. I would have, if I were Vrabel, I'd go for it right there, win the game, get it over with.
I don't know, because they got to, I mean, that was third and goal from the 5, and they had to go into a bag of tricks to come up. I mean, they send Ryan Tannehill out wide and go into a wildcat. So clearly that was a play that they'd been saving for an important time, because right. The fact that they ran the ball there tells me they had a lot of confidence in that play. But now, after they score that, you got to come up with another short yardage play. You just burned your best one. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, but they didn't burn that one until the overtime. It wouldn't have mattered. You would have burned it there and won.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I mean,
yeah.
You had that play in your pocket. So
yeah, that's true.
But
that could have happened anytime. But they could have done it at the end of regulation just the same. And I'm a big believer in, if you've got a chance, if there's zero chance you can lose, then you go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, I'm okay with let's win it right here. And because, I mean, we've seen this act on defense, and a coach doesn't want to admit, oh, there's no way of stopping them. But you had and for God's sakes, with Gannon with his analytics, I just wish he would show. It's a simple decision. I have a chance to win the game right here. And maybe not lose it. And I may not get a better chance to win the football game. So let's do it. I don't know that. I mean, that to me was the decision. I don't know if it was what I would have done. But I don't fault them for trying. They actually had a pretty good play on. Watson was late seeing the receiver, and it wound up getting tipped. I would have liked to have seen a better play. I would have liked to have seen that, you know, triple option where he can run, pitch the ball, or toss it to the tight end. That play almost always works down close. I wish they'd run that. But other than that, man, I mean, and every time they did something like that, it worked. Every time they went for it on fourth and one, every time they got down tight, they had good plays set up. They had to feel confident with it. It's one of those that if it works, I don't think anybody's questioning it.
So I will say, Rich Gannon, he did get a little bit annoying on that. But in a way, he's right. Everybody has those two-point conversion cards. And the math is done. There were people on my timeline last night saying, was the right call analytically? No, it's not. No,
it had nothing to do with analytics. Let's start with that.
Yeah. And anyone who said that, and they're like, well, I can't explain the math to you. And I was like, I know you can't, because that math don't exist, brother. It's just not there. So you can tell me that game situation, things like that, maybe a gut feeling, those things you can explain away. But that's numerically, analytically, statistically, that is not the right call. That two-point card that Rich Gannon was waving around, I heard John Granato say it this way this morning, and it's very accurate. It's like that little book of blackjack. Like, it tells you how to play perfect blackjack. Now, is perfect blackjack always going to win? No. But that little book gives you the best chance. If you follow it precisely, that over, you know, 1,000 hands, that gives you the best chance to come out on top.
Well, it gives you the best chance to
lose the least.
I mean, basically, if you play perfect with the card, for every 100 you bet, you'll win 99.
There you
go. That's the house edge.
But that little card, that 2-point conversion card says over 1,000 2-point or over 1,000 opportunities, if you do it here and not here, this is where you're going to end up in the positive. And he went away from that card. So there's no analytical explanation for it. That's not the case.
No, and so Gannon was wrong about that because he kept saying it was an analytical decision. And then I saw people on Twitter like, "Oh, analytics," but they don't know what the
someone
hell
heard Rich Gannon saying and believed it was analytics. And by the
way,
not.
By the way, guys, you know analytics. This you know who was trying to make it justify it. And one of the things that drives me nuts is somebody will make a weird decision, and then you can justify that with analytics. Well, no, you really can't.
I mean, sometimes you can, because not this time.
Here's the problem with that. It's just like if you say, okay, 50% of the time teams convert this, then now you have to start looking at, okay, what offenses are we talking about doing it? Which higher percentage offenses are going for it against what defenses? And suddenly it's not 50-50 anymore. Kansas City Chiefs line up for a 2-point conversion, it's better than 50%.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals line up for it, it's less than 50%.
You line up against the Texans defense, it's better than 50%.
Yeah, it's 100%. But to me, it had nothing to do with analytics. The simple thing was he thought he could win the game right there. He thought he had the play for it. I don't fault the decision. I don't know that I would have had the stones to make it, but...
Well, you know what? We got to hit a break. There's a few reasons why I'm not totally sure that stones went into it, but we can discuss it on the other side.
Well, that's...
Let's put a halt to this conversation for now.
Let's pump the brakes. And, you know, I just heard some squeaking on those brakes, and I think we better call new brakes. NUBRAKES.com. And, guys, the blitzers that have used these guys all swear by them. They come to you, and they'll come to your house. If you're at work, they'll come to work, and they fix it. Boom. Done. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go to a service center and sit around and wait and get coughed on by some old lady. No, they come to you and take care of it. And you get quality work, 20 to 50% more affordable. The best thing is you go online. And you put in your information, and they're going to get back to you within a couple of minutes and get you all set up. And you get a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty, and the guys know what they're doing. They do a great job. All you have to do is mention ESPN. You're going to get 10% off your service. Just go to newbrakes.com, NUBRAKES.com. Get it all set up, and they're basically going to give you the price right there, a surprise-free repair quote. Again, mention ESPN, 10% off, newbrakes.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Business owners, did you know your website could be causing you more harm than good? I'm Hector Garcia, owner of SiteJab.com, a leading web design firm right here in Houston. Maybe you've taken a shot of designing the website yourself or hired somebody overseas for $100. If that's you, it's time to get your website done right with SiteJab. Call 713-999-4661, 713-999-4661, and get a custom-built website made by SiteJab.com, 713-999-4661.
In a world where your favorite sports radio station evades you because of where you are and where it is, a new radio signal emerges, giving listeners near and far a choice. ESPN 92.5. Can you dig it? Sucker!
This refreshing message brought to you by Love Street Cole Style Blonde. If you're in the mood for something new that's not really new and actually feels like it's been around the whole time, then take a trip down Love Street. This easy-drinking, anytime Kolsch-style blonde goes great with your favorite record and favorite people. It's a refreshing beer and a state of mind. But I'm just a voice on the radio. You should try it out for yourself. All you need is Love Street. Brewed with love in Houston, Texas at the Carbach Brewing Company.
When the world is your oyster, where do you bank? Veritex Private Banking was created to assist high net worth individuals and their families in securing their legacy. At Veritex, we work with all your advisors to achieve your financial goals. To learn more, visit VeritexBank.com.
Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Josh. Fall is here. It's time to upgrade your grilling game at Texas Star Grill Shop. They have a huge selection of Napoleon gas grills. Whether you're a novice or a backyard grill master, Napoleon makes it easy to grill like a pro. Texas Star Grill Shop has the best grills at the right price. Get your brand new Napoleon during their huge fall event. Act now and get free assembly and delivery with your Napoleon grill. Texas Star Grill Shop, located in Houston, Spring, Katy, and opening soon at Woodway and Voss, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And so you said not necessarily stones.
Well, Romeo doesn't have anything to lose.
Well, that's true.
We all know Romeo's not going to be the head coach of this football team.
No, that's fair. Then you can afford.
That's what we call house money. Like he had a free role and he was like, you know what? And this is the other important thing to remember. And when you're not taking into account the actual wins and losses of the football team, for Romeo Crennel, he was playing a free role. When you play a free role, here's what you don't want to do. Let's say you on your online sports book, you've got $100. You get to bet it one time only. Do you take a team that you like +7 or -7? Or do you take the team that you like -7.5? You take who you like -7.5. Here's why. Because if it's 7, it's a push. You got nothing out of your free bet. It's gone. You tried. You failed. Nothing happened. 7.5, you lose. You had nothing to lose. If it lands 8, though, you win the money. So he looked at it like this. I've got nothing to lose here. If we win this game, it's gravy for me. And you know, I will say there's some things I liked that Romeo did. In a way, while I don't like going for two there, I do like that he trusts Deshaun Watson in a situation where Bill O'Brien likely wouldn't have trusted Deshaun Watson. I can appreciate that. I like and I was questioning at the time, but then I really thought, you know what, this defense has no chance of it. But when they were fourth down and they decided to go for the touchdown instead of kicking the field goal to go up 4, because you can make an argument that would have been analytically the right thing to do would be go up 4.
Yeah.
But I think everyone watching that game knew the odds were that they would go down and they would score. Like it was pretty likely they would go down and score. Really, it boiled down to did you want to put it on them or did you want to put it on yourself? And I would have preferred to put it on them. I get Gostkowski wasn't great, but if you're saying he's got to make the odds of him making an extra point or the odds of the Titans converting a 2-point conversion, I know it sounds really easy to say, you know, oh, it's a close call. It's really not. I mean, it's in the grand scheme.
I actually think it's a closer call than you do because, again, the Titans had no problems getting in from down there. So, and by going for it, you're taking, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're not going to go for two when they get down there. So, I mean, I think that part of it, yeah, but there's no way Romeo was thinking of all that. I'm just, you know, but I at that point of the game, I might rather have a shaky Gostkowski because stuff can go wrong with that too. I mean, these extra points aren't automatic anymore, but you know, again, I don't know that I would have been able to do it. I don't hate it in retrospect. I think you can justify it pretty easily. I you know, as usual with things like this, oh, what an idiot move, or oh, it was a great move. I don't know that it was a great move. It wasn't an idiot move. It didn't work, but I understand the thinking behind it, and I appreciate that they tried it. If I were coaching that team, I don't think I could have.
How long has the extra point been in play, like the longer extra point?
Think that we're going on 4 years of it now.
Okay, so he's about Gostkowski in those 4 years is about 94% on extra points.
Well, but and ordinarily, you know, you look at that and you say, yeah, but we know how kickers get too. That's the other thing. When they get yippy.
That's fair.
And yeah, that, 2015. But
remember, he missed three field goals in the opener, damn near lost the game.
But then the next week, he went out and kicked six field goals and won the
game.
But
then here he was shaky again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, part of it's feel. That's why you can't just look at pure numbers in those situations. It's like, okay, do I want to put them in a position where Gostkowski's got to beat me? You know, maybe so. Maybe it's in, you know, maybe he is yippy for once. He wasn't. He made the kick. And, you know, there's a lot that has to go wrong for you to lose. You have to give up the touchdown. You have to give up. You know, he has to make the kick, and then you have to lose a coin flip.
Now, here's the other thing. Let's not act like it didn't take a lot for the Texans to get even into the position where they were winning, because they were getting blown out, and a lot of things went their way to get them back in it. Maybe that makes it more painful when you think about it. That, you know, you work all that way back from just getting dog stomped to where now you've got you're in position to win this game, and you don't. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the other thing. Every loss at this point is equally painful. I mean, it's not like it hurts more or less for these guys.
I think this one probably hurts more though because you had a chance.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, you had no chance against the Ravens. You had no chance against the Chiefs. You didn't really have a chance against the Vikings. All those games, they were badly outplayed.
Yeah, this is the first time in a loss that they were in the game.
Yeah, I mean, this not to go moral victory Monday. Yeah.
The other four losses that were non-competitive losses.
But I'm also, you know, I'm going to go on record as saying that they were in the game because the Titans were uncharacteristically
sloppy.
Yes, very sloppy, which is not what they do. They play smart football. They wear you down with the running game, and they use play action to death. And, you know, but they did a lot to keep the Texans in the game. And, you know, and that one interception that Tannehill threw, it's like, why do you need to throw that play there? They can't stop Derrick Henry. They can't stop the short passes. What are you even doing there?
You know what he was trying to do? The same thing Romeo was trying to do, put the game out of reach.
Yeah, well, your quarterback has to make a better decision there, though. And because, I mean,
and really, that's a better throw.
That's not the strength. That's not his strength. His strength is hitting those short passes off play action and getting guys over the middle.
If that ball goes across the field, that's a big gain. He tried to go down the field and get a touchdown instead of taking the big gain. He tried to get instead of taking a nice piece of cake, he tried to get the whole bakery. Yeah. And it cost. Yeah,
but there was no need to do that.
No.
The Texans, you know, I don't know if there was a need, but at least there was a decision to be made. I mean, my guy just ran 94 yards for a touchdown. I'm going to keep feeding him.
I'm with you.
And
you want to be the hero.
Put the game away that way. And those are the kind of things that the Titans usually don't do. So, and I have to say, this team, I'm very impressed with this football team.
With the Texans?
No, the Titans. What are you talking about?
It's like, what?
Jesus, what are you smoking
before
the show?
I don't know what you did over the weekend. I don't know what you got into.
No. But because of all those things I mentioned, and the Texans, for the most part, except for the one drive where Titus Howard got back-to-back penalties, they played a pretty damn clean game. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't get a ton of bad penalties. And the Titans had a lot go wrong, and that's why it was close.
Here's why I'm impressed with the Titans. Normally, and last year was a good example, what made the Titans good was they ran the ball well and they played really good defense. This year, they're running the ball well and their defense sucks.
Yeah, especially on third down. My goodness.
And somehow, they're 5-0.
Well, because Tannehill's playing out of his mind.
He's playing, and that's what it really boils down to. Is a guy, and you would think this. If I told you this, a team with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and a bad defense was going, I'd go, ooh. I mean, that's been the Titans' story for a long time: a good run game, bad quarterback play, and bad defense. And that they are what they've been for years and years and years. They're Marcus Mariota back there with some running back who will get a bunch of yards, but they're not winning anything. Ryan Tannehill's playing way above his pay grade right now. He's playing way above what his level is. And maybe he's coming into his own. I don't know. Maybe the threat of Derrick Henry is so great that teams just have to respect Derrick Henry, and it's opening things up for Tannehill. But for a team that's playing poorly on defense, I'm also very impressed with the Titans' overall results because you wouldn't expect it.
What concerns me is I don't know that the defense is going to get better, and how is that going to stack up with the Chiefs of the world and the Steelers, as we'll find out next week. But Yeah, I think that Titans offense is just perfectly designed for Tannehill because you run, you play action, And he's still got some mobility. I mean, people forget he was a wide receiver. And it's not that he goes running with the football, but it's that mobility that gets him outside the pocket on the boots and gives guys time to get open. I mean, it's just a really well-designed offense. He's obviously improved. Getting away from Adam Gase, not a bad thing.
No.
And,
Think?
And let's not forget, the guy only played quarterback for 1 year in college before he went to the NFL. So there was always going to be a development time, but he's developed into much better than I ever thought he would be. By the way, QBR for Deshaun Watson yesterday.
In the 90s.
93.1.
That's strong.
Tied for the second highest of his career.
Is that his first game without a turnover this season?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. I haven't looked that up. Yeah, no, wait a minute. He that was his first without a turnover. So, and the four touchdowns and no turnovers was a big reason
for that. Only three sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and really only one bad sack that he took when they got him near midfield, and he didn't turn the ball over against Minnesota, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
So that was the other game. So, yeah, he's got four interceptions on the season right now. But, you know, that was the only really bad sack I thought he took where he could have gotten rid of the ball. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, other than Titus Howard's little penalty hiccups there, I thought they did a pretty good job. Now, part of it is the Titans' defensive line is not the Titans' defensive line of years past.
Right.
And, boy, Jadeveon Clowney was invisible yesterday, and they kept trotting him over there on Tunsil, and that wasn't happening. So, but I think the one thing about Tennessee is if they can improve that defense, I think they can compete for the Super Bowl.
Ooh, yeah.
But they've got to find a way to make that better. And you know what? If I'm them, trading deadline. Dude, I'm all over the phones trying to get defensive help because they've done a nice job of putting some weapons around. I mean, Brown's turned into a hell of a player. Boy, that catch, too, that was one where you just like, that was so close. I thought he got the foot down.
I knew that because they called it a touchdown on the field. It was a touchdown. It was so close they weren't going to change
it. There was no way you could change it. So,
but and that was another that you talk about ballsy. I don't know if you thought so. I thought for sure they were clocking the ball there.
I like the decision not to, though.
In hindsight, certainly.
Especially if you have that play call on, the worst thing that happens, it's incomplete, you still got another play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you get two plays either way, but I like catching them when they're not ready.
Yeah.
I'm always for that kind of stuff, so I love that call, too.
Like, I was certainly assuming they were going to clock the ball and then take their time and come up with a play. But yeah, kudos to them.
But see, again, that's what good offensive coaches do. They already had that play called. They were ready to go with that play and they were thinking ahead. And you know, that's one of the things that used to drive me nuts about O'Brien is he was always paint by numbers. Oh, A happened, so we got to do B. Well, B happened, so we got to do C. You know, the good coaches are playing chess and they're looking three or four moves ahead. And that's what they were doing there.
And, J.A. Garza says, how about the intentional penalty to stop the Titans, stop the clock that the Titans took 12 men on the field. Again, we talked about this. I don't know if it was intentional. If it was, we've completely underestimated Mike Vrabel as a head coach. Like that's a really brilliant move if it was on purpose.
The reason I'm kind of skeptical is because at some point when it looks like the Texans are pretty much going to score a touchdown, don't you let them score?
That's why I was skeptical, too, because they could have let them walk into the end zone. Although maybe David Johnson actually can't get physically into the end zone. Maybe that's the problem. But I thought if they wanted them to score, they could have let them score on second down there.
Yeah, and have plenty of time left.
And then the third down, they blew it up in the backfield, and then they end up scoring on fourth down, and that burned over a minute off the clock. So if they were really that concerned about the clock, I feel like they would have just let the Texans score there.
Yeah, I do too.
But then maybe once it gets to – once you stop that second down play and you blow up third down, maybe you feel like you're in a different situation because you probably think you're holding them to a field goal there.
Yeah, and technically they did. They just decided to go for it. Yep. And at that point, if you're them, you're taking a fourth down stop.
Either way, if Vrabel did that on purpose, and I'm not saying he did or didn't, I don't know. If he did do it on purpose, That is a brilliant, brilliant move.
Well, and I'll just say this. The guys turned out to be a hell of a lot better coach than I ever imagined.
Yes.
Especially seeing him call plays for 1 year in Houston. I'm like, what is the buzz about with this guy?
Much better head coach than defensive coordinator.
Yeah, no question.
All right. I got to tell you guys about Allstate. Allstate Windows and Siding. You want hurricane impact windows. You want to build Texas tough. They're built in Texas for the Texas tough weather. Rain, wind, hail, whatever it is. Allstate Windows and Siding, they're ready for it. And not only that, it's gonna beautify your home. And I had them come out. My house is measured. I'm waiting on my windows to come in, and they're gonna install them, I think, in the next couple weeks. But I'm super excited. It's gonna beautify the home. But most importantly for me, well, my wife likes it. It's gonna be beautiful for me. 40% on my electric bill. What about that? What about saving some bucks? They're here to help Houston. They're extending their fall specials. 25% off all window packages. Give it a look, guys. $2,000 off complete siding jobs as well. Home and virtual appointments are available. They're family run for four generations. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Windows and Siding. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com. In a crowd, your silence is my favorite sound.
Watch me make a bow. One by one by one. This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.
Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums, and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere, even from your favorite hiking trail. With Capital One's app, you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from wherever you are anytime you want, even when you're cooking dinner. Open a fee-free checking or savings account online in about 5 minutes. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, the sounds of Angry Orchard Hard Cider. Natural. Refreshing. Apple sweetness. Refreshingly sweet? Real sweetness? Sweet. This is ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with sweet when there's real apples involved.
Angry Orchard Hard Cider. Natural sweetness. Real apples.
Oh, come on.
Angry Orchard Cider Company, Walden, New York. Drink responsibly.
Sponsored by Labyrinth Labs.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 1-800-789-3221. 1-800-789-3221. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 1-800-789-3221.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Squeeze in a call real quick, and then I want to get to something we were talking about on Twitch. What's up, Russ?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, Russ.
You're on. Go.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Mike Vrabel. I'm amazed at how good of a game managing coach he is. That wasn't the first time he's done that intentional 12 men on the field penalty. He did it 2 years ago against the Jets. When he was, when he was with the Texans, I just thought he was going to be some kind of a like dumb jock former football player or something. But when the Titans got the ball back, that was one of the best 2 minute offenses I've seen. They were snapping the ball. You know, they're getting the line and snapping the ball and actually running plays within 2 or 3 seconds of lining up. And I'm just amazed at how well he runs the offense and understands game situations. And the whole thing about that intentional penalty, it was second and one, and if the Texans had gotten like a 1 or 2 yard gain, they would have been outside the 20. They could have gotten two more first downs and completely run out the clock. By him getting that intentional penalty, he guaranteed that the Texans could only get one more first down, and that that by using his timeouts and the two-minute warning, the Titans were guaranteed to get the ball back. Even if the Texans scored, they still could have. Okay, we're giving them a free first down. We can regroup and hold them to a field goal. But second and one, they're pretty much guaranteed to get a first down. So let's give them 5 full yards and make it impossible for them to get two more first downs and completely run out the clock and guarantee we get the ball back with time.
Yeah, yeah. It was a brilliant decision.
If it was intentional. I'm not willing to concede that just yet, because I think if you look at how the rest of the game went, there were other things that they could have done. But, yeah, if it was, it was a smart play. And it worked out very well if that were the case. But, yeah, otherwise, I mean, the one thing I'd point out, though, it wasn't – I don't think it was Mike Vrabel running the offense in the two-minute drill. Arthur Smith apparently has been given free rein to do that. But that's what's – I mean, that's what good coaches do.
And here's the other thing. Whatever we thought of Mike Vrabel when he was here, in hindsight, we can probably take with a grain of salt, because he was working for a tyrant. Who knows what he was allowed to have control over?
It looks like Tim Kelly's doing a pretty okay job right now.
Yeah. So I think anything saying, well, when this guy was working for Bill O'Brien, he sucked. I mean, it could be because he was working for Bill O'Brien. Right. If we're going to make that excuse for all these players, I mean, looks like Mike Vrabel's doing a lot better off without Bill O'Brien than he was with him.
Shoulder with a good point. If it was intentional, then to decline the penalty would have been next level thinking. Except you kind of lose the clock stops anyway.
Yeah, the clock's already stopped.
So, I mean, all you do is pick up another play, and then what if things go awry with that? All right, we talked about some potential trade scenarios now. Because if you're the Texans, I'm pretty much giving away anybody on the roster not named Tunsil or Watson at this stage, if somebody wants them. And there were rumors that teams would be interested in guys like Merciless and Cunningham. I don't know why anybody would be interested in Zach Cunningham.
I don't think Merciless and Cunningham, those contracts can be...
Well, but this gets to something we were talking about on Twitch. For the other team, those contracts aren't as punitive once you trade for them. It's the same thing with David Johnson and Brandon Cooks, how you can get rid of them, because you don't take on the signing bonus money. And so you can trade for those guys, and if you decide, you know what, they're not working out, you can get rid of them a lot cheaper than you can if you're the Texans. So I could see somebody looking at that and say, oh, we need pass rush. Whitney Merciless is a pass rusher. No, he's not.
He's not.
It's just like, Jadeveon Clowney's a pass rusher. No, he's not. But I could see that. I don't know why anyone would want Zach Cunningham.
Zach Cunningham might be the worst player on the Texans right now. Like, the worst player that gets any actual run.
Yeah. I have a hard time disputing that. I mean, he was way out of position on the 94-yard touchdown run.
Oh, terrible.
And, you know, the guy makes a lot of tackles, but he makes a lot of tackles 7 yards downfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, that one, that was yet another horrible mistake to pay that guy. I mean,
yeah. Is there anybody on this, and that's the thing, there's nobody on this team that's going to bring back a, there's not one person on this team that would bring back a first-round pick, save maybe Deshaun Watson.
It's hard to say, because teams do stupid stuff. Somebody might give up a late first-rounder for JJ would be my only.
Oh, I would say if you could trade JJ for a third-round pick, that would be a success.
I would do it, but I would also, you know, if you can create a little bidding war, which a good GM could do. Of course, I don't.
Who's the GM? Easterby?
Carry the two. That's a good question.
Yeah. I think I would. And if I could get a third round pick for JJ Watt, I would do it. And it sounds painful, but
I also,
honestly, it helps JJ more than anything. JJ doesn't need to be a part of this.
And that's the thing, though. I think if you trade JJ to the Dolphins for a third-round pick versus the Steelers for a third-round pick, Like if you train him to the Steelers, you're sending him to a team where he can win. Yeah. And he gets to play with his brothers. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, hell, you train him to the Dolphins, you're training him to a better situation than he's currently in.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Just don't trade him to the Jets.
No, well,
don't trade him to Jacksonville.
The Jets are the kind of team that would make that trade. They're the kind of team that would give you a first-round pick for him, except they want Trevor Lawrence now. But, yeah, and it's funny. You look at Zach Cunningham, and he had 8 tackles yesterday and 2 solo tackles. For a guy who's in position to make tackles
on
every
play. That's a box score warrior.
Yeah.
Because if you watch that game, you can't. There's no way you can watch that game, and I can't wait to watch the All-22. It's going to be embarrassing for him. I'm almost certain I'm going to laugh at him. But there's no way you – even on the CBS view, there's no way you watch that game and go, man, Zach Cunningham looks good out there today. No, he looked horrible. And the film is going to be even worse. It's going to be bad.
But you know what? It has been all year, AJ.
It has been.
The guy hasn't had a game where you look at it and you go, hey, good job, buddy.
No,
you played well.
He's rough.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. 10-7 Bills lead in this one.
Is there anybody you wouldn't trade?
Deshaun.
That's it, right?
Yeah. Now, it would have to take the Jets coming to me and saying, hey, I'll give you 3 number ones, including this year's where I might get Trevor Lawrence. I'd think about it.
Honestly, If the Jets offered me the first round pick this year for Deshaun, I would take it.
Well, that one you contract wise you can't in the first year. You've already screwed that up.
So. I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence going forward than Deshaun.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say that yet.
Especially because I know the next 4 years of Trevor Lawrence are way cheaper than the next 4 of Deshaun.
True, but I still, there's no guarantee that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be.
Well, there's no guarantee Deshaun's going to be a superstar.
No, but you know what? I know what I have out of him. I got a guy that can at least be elite on occasion. And he was elite yesterday. Team wasn't. So,
of course.
You must not have seen Trevor Lawrence against Georgia Tech this weekend.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me. Excuse me while I go to the restroom.
That was very anti-Clemson-like of them. Usually, Clemson will beat the hell out of you if you're a good team, and then they'll kind of go easy on you if you're a donkey. Oh, they were like, no, we're murdering this team. For whatever reason, they wanted to embarrass Georgia Tech.
Of course, it would be the most Houston thing. You trade Deshaun for the number one pick, then Deshaun leads them to 8 wins, and then you're picking.
Well, that would be the problem.
You don't get Trevor Lawrence.
I'm telling you.
I don't know that Deshaun could lead
Deshaun
the Jets.
Deshaun could not save that Jets team. With Adam Gase.
They would win at least enough that they wouldn't get the first overall.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
It's possible they could win 3 games.
Unless they fire Adam Gase.
Well, they might.
That's a different situation.
But no, realistically, there's not a player. The only 2 players that I would not trade on this roster are Watson and Tunsil.
I don't think Patrick Mahomes would win 8 games with that Jets team. I'm telling you.
It'd be a fun scientific experiment to do. Hey, you get Patrick Mahomes for 8 games. Let's see what you do. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.